every day on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1-300-872-911.
Now, I'll read briefly. This is a beautiful little article by Chris Calcino on page 7 of the Cairns Post today. I'll cut to the chase with it. It says here, there'll be no dimmed lights in the TTNQ office today as Mark Olson crosses the 12-month threshold as the organisation's chief executive. It's been a testing year, has it? What? What a time for Mark Olson to arrive in town. It's been a testing year, but TTNQ staff have rarely been busier as they ferret out any small opportunities to drive tourism to the region. And it then says further on in the article, it began with a fight for flights, but ended in a fight for survival that will persist after the calendar flips to January, fortunately. Mark Olson said the COVID-19 crisis had been a galvanising influence on an industry that was getting increasingly fractious when he first arrived. Cut to the chase again. Mr. Olson welcomed the Premier's decision yesterday to extend the Queensland border zone to those other five councils. However, he said the main targets had to be securing direct flights from the ACT and eventually Sydney once borders reopened. Good morning. Congratulations on your first year, Mark Olson.
Oh, good morning, John. Thank you for those kind words. It's lovely to speak to you.
They're Chris Calcino's kind words, but I've got to say to you, I really appreciate the wealth of information you bring to the phone every time we talk. It's been really refreshing. And also what you've achieved this year as far as pumping this huge amount of energy into your job, and it couldn't have been better timed considering what's happened from just after you did arrive in this town. Totally unprecedented.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But I think anyone who's facing a crisis, whether it be in business or in life, it sharpens your focus. And that's where we are at the moment. As an industry, as an organisation, and certainly for me, it's never been clearer what needs to be done. Sometimes when you're in the good times, it's hard to know where to go next. We're not in those at the moment, and it is so important for us to focus on driving every possible visitor. So as Chris caught in the article, I don't know about ferreting, but we're certainly looking for every opportunity, you know, whether it be short break drive holidays. We're advertising into the ACT right now to try and get those Canberrans up via Brisbane. We'd love to see a direct flight from Canberra to Cairns, but we know that we would usually see about 1,000 Canberrans a week during the school holidays. So we'd love to see them back again. But I think where we are at the moment with the Premier's announcement yesterday on the relaxation of the border travel arrangements for those border communities, it creates a situation where we can't be very far away from seeing the New South Wales border open. And we saw last time when we had New South Wales able to travel and those direct flights coming in from Sydney, the flood of Sydney-siders who want to come to Cairns and explore the region up to Port Douglas and the Tablelands and Mission Beach. So we are rearing and ready to go. So the team are constantly sharpening the pencil to try and find another way to make sure we put Cairns and Great Barrier Reef on the top of everyone's to-do list.
I'm glad you've mentioned these direct flights from the ACT into Cairns. You're saying the main targets had to be securing those direct flights. I read this morning they're even flying direct Canberra into the Gold Coast. That's going from, I think, 2 flights a week to 7 flights a week, if I remember rightly. That is bizarre that we've been left out altogether.
It's about route economics. It's about where people want to be at this time of the year. The airport are doing a fantastic job. They're in discussions with the airlines at the moment. The flights don't open until Friday, so we continue those discussions. But, comparatively, the ACT is only a couple of 100,000 people compared to the many millions that live in Sydney. So the real game is, of course, Sydney. We would love to see flights from the ACT, but we're focused on the biggest travel market in Australia, and that is Sydney. We would love to see them back here. And the sooner we can see that announcement, and yesterday's announcement by the Premier was a really encouraging sign that we are heading towards an opening of the New South Wales border. So we would love to see that.
The other point, I was watching Margie Osmond on television, late night television last night. Gee, she was good. She made this point. She said, yes, fine, Australians can't travel overseas, so they're going to look internally for their travel fix, and that's all fine. But nothing, nothing for our struggling tourism industry and the workers within that industry will replace our borders opening up once again to international flights. It is critically important.
Yeah, and she's absolutely right. Australians are great travellers, and they're great travellers internationally, but within Australia, they don't usually invest in the kinds of experiences to anywhere near the same level. And I heard a great interview this morning from a Tasmanian adventure guide, which I think really brings that home. Mm. You know, he would usually be doing 2,000 packs over this period of the school holidays, and he's got zero bookings because not every product appeals to a domestic market. Margie is absolutely right. It's a third of the tourism value for our community. It's $1 billion a year that comes in. We're a great export, industry, and we need to see that export industry back again, which is why we need to learn to and plan to live with COVID, how we manage it, track it, trace it, contain it, because unless the world goes with an elimination strategy, we need to be able to live with COVID in communities. Yes, and I know our community don't welcome the idea of having travellers from places with COVID, but at some point we will be opening our borders up, whether it be our state borders or our national borders, to travel, and we'll have to manage this. And this is something we do every day. We do it with all sorts of quarantine measures. And I think our health officials, the ADF and the Queensland Police have done an amazing job in Queensland in quarantine. And I think it's a testament that we can do this, and we should be ready to open it up even further, slowly but surely, and in a really measured way, just like we've been doing.
It's a really important point. I just want to ask you if you're in touch at the ground level with the people who are suffering most, and I'm talking about the people that would go out in significant numbers on the boats as staff and crew on the boats, et cetera. I'm talking to people in hotels and accommodation houses, et cetera. Yeah. There are not hundreds but thousands of people employed for years in the tourism industry who are sitting home twiddling their thumbs and wondering if they'll ever work again. How much are they suffering? What sort of numbers do you think, Mark, we could be talking about here?
Yeah, look, I think it's absolutely right, John. What we hear from the reef fleet is that they're running at about 10 to 15% at best of the pre-COVID levels. You know, this is an industry that's driven the attractiveness of Australia as an international destination for decades. It's got people in it in senior roles who have created the reason that people want to leave their homes in the United States or Europe or Asia and come to Australia, and they come to the Great Barrier Reef because of the hard work, and they're the ones who are suffering the most at the moment. You know, we have an industry here of about 25,000 employees in the tourism sector across tropical North Queensland, and we're running at 30%, so the math is pretty clear. Without JobKeeper, we would be suffering even more, and we know that this month is an important month. In the next few days, we start to see the first of the relaxations of the JobKeeper support, and that reduces further down into February. So it is such a critical time for business survival, which is why at TTNQ we are out there looking for every opportunity to drive an extra customer. If we can bring one extra plane load of people out of the ACT, we'll do everything we can to do it. We're working hard in South Australia to bring South Australians up. We're ready to go for our summer campaign to remind Australians that summer in the tropics is just like summer in Bali, Fiji or the Maldives or Hawaii. It's stunning. It's a beautiful time of the year to be in the tropics. You know, there's so much to enjoy about the cool, clear waters and the fresh produce and just relaxing on a hammock and soaking in the sights. So there's so much to do here over summer. We won't stop until we're sure that we've done everything we can for every business, like you say. And as many as we understand, as many as 11,000 employees in our sector will be impacted by the COVID travel restrictions. And we're coming into the hardest part of that journey. So this is This is our hill to climb, if we were using the Tour de France analogy. This is our Mont Ventoux. We start pedalling now because this is the hardest time to get Australians to travel domestically when they would normally jump in the car and go to their nearest beach. So we're working hard.
Mark, congratulations on that first year. It's been outstanding, and I hope there are going to be many more years to come.
I look forward to it, John, and look forward to talking to you on every one of those.
Good on you, Mark. Mark Olson, Chief Executive, Tourism Tropical North Queensland. With his first year behind him, he's been very energised, and I think given the nature of the crisis we've endured in tourism, couldn't get a better bloke to be heading up that local organisation. 2 minutes to 10.